The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member. And we don't mean your Aunt Dolores.
You stink!
The TNT Shop has it all. At TNTRadio.live. This is the Chris Smith Show on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
G'day, g'day. Welcome to the program. It is great to have your company at the start of a busy week for news almost everywhere. It's just gone 9 p.m. in LA, midnight in New York, 5 a.m. in London, and 2 p.m. Tuesday on the east coast of Australia. It's great to have you with us. Today, more pushback from the common sense ranks of humanity, I guess, today, against the transgender activists. And I'll explain what Texas has voted on to protect children being exposed to sexuality, what Australia is doing to ensure judges are up to speed on the dangers of gender transition, and where has all this activism come from? These are three very big topics to talk about. I think I found the answer for the last question for you. It is just plain gross. My special guest, though, today is the women's rights warrior from England, Kelly J. Keane Mitchell, who's just been involved in another rally last Sunday in London that ended a tad violent. That's what happens when the transgender activists turn up. They tend to resort to violence. And she's about to head off to the United Nations to support biological women in their quest to prevent biological men, trans women, obtaining the same rights. She has withstood enormous criticism, even physical attacks in New Zealand, Kelly J. But her purpose is simple, and it's gaining incredible support worldwide. Do not miss that interview coming up shortly on the program. Also today, the amazing Aboriginal elder is in the Vatican to talk with the Pope. This is an amazing story. And guess what they will discuss? Yes, the Indigenous voice to the Parliament, who said religion and politics don't mix. We'll hear from the feisty Australian Senator Holly Hughes on the booze ban handed down to our soldiers and the power companies, all very excited about building windmills at sea, plus the director of the group Civil Society Australia, first time on this program, Vern Hughes. He's on the program to discuss who the real Australian Prime Minister is, how to pay off the crippling Victorian debt and the National Disability Insurance Scheme, a money-thirsty corrupt monster or just an expensive necessity. Plenty to talk about with Vern Hughes on the program today. So that is the plan. Plenty to talk about and all the more reason to have your say. And you can do so on the open line. It is open right now from the US or Canada, 1-888-201-6425. From the UK, 033-0024-1026, or from Australia and New Zealand, 1-800-670-310. I look forward to your company today. You're with Chris Smith, broadcasting live from sunny Sydney this afternoon on the Global News Talk Network, tntradio.live.
Catch the news on the go.
I listen on the way to work.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Well, the pushback to recent radical sexualization agendas is now well and truly underway. This is a wonderful development in this very vicious battle for reasonable rights. Now, the latest is the Texas legislature passed a bill that would effectively ban drag performances in public places. It now heads to Governor Greg Abbott's desk for ratification. The final version of the bill removed the term drag found in the original version and replaced it with sexually oriented performances after members of the LGBTQ said the drag community was being unfairly targeted, which is a fair point. They've changed that. But in any case, the intent of the law was just as effective, and it's now going to become law, which will protect children's innocence. Drag shows in children's libraries will not be considered just part of children's story time. Isn't it strange? I just said that line there, and it just occurred to me how strange it was that we need to create laws to ban the most obvious indiscretions. We live in a weird world. The Senate Bill 12, tabled by State Senator Brian Hughes, prohibits sexually oriented performances on the premises of a commercial enterprise in the presence of a person under the age of 18. It also empowers municipalities and counties to regulate these performances. A violation of this law could result in a Class A misdemeanor and a fine of up to $10,000 per violation per the bill. The bill comes into effect September the 1st, and about time too. This does not stop drag shows from occurring. The people that are pushing this are not prudes. But put simply, there is a time and a place for this stuff, usually in front of an adult audience, because these are adult sexualized themes. What about that is too hard for trans activists to fathom? But have you wondered recently where this radical agenda of sexualization, especially towards children, has come from? I have. This is much more than just a few LGBTQ activists driving some organic campaign and spreading. It has direction at the highest levels, including from the World Economic Forum and the United Nations. And this is not a coincidence. It's not a conspiracy theory. The agenda has been ongoing for several years while you were busy getting on with life, minding your own business, going to work, spending time with your family. Let me explain this. Beth Brooke Marciniak was an EY Global Vice Chair of Public Policy. Yeah, from one of the world's big four auditing firms, EY Global Vice Chair. She oversaw public policy for the organization's operations in more than 150 countries. She was a global sponsor of EY's diversity and inclusiveness efforts. It's instructive now to review what she had to say in 2019 at the Business for Social Responsibility Conference. Here's what she said on the founding of the Partnership for Global LGBTIQ Plus Equality.
So the PGLE, Partnership for Global LGBTI Equality, is in collaboration with the World Economic Forum. So this is a group that was formed in collaboration with the World Economic Forum after 5 or 6 years of working behind the scenes with senior leaders at just a handful of companies. This organization was founded in January of 2019. Can you believe that? The World Economic Forum just agreed to do it this January. So we have their, in collaboration with them, we can use their channels of distribution, their brand. They're now in the mainstream, on the main stage in Davos and into the mainstream of the programming at the World Economic Forum, which, as you know, if an issue isn't discussed within the World Economic Forum, it sends a huge message to world leaders.
There it is. There it is. We can't find the origins of COVID-19, but we can find the origins of trans activism, an alliance between the technocrats at the World Economic Forum and those at the United Nations, both behind an agenda to upend traditional views on sexuality towards what we are seeing right now, which is a very slippery slope when children are indoctrinated into the new sexual normal. So what does the Partnership for Global LGBTIQ Plus Equality want to achieve? Have a listen to how Ms. Brooke Marciniak explained it.
We are committed to change the world for LGBTI inclusion around the world, not by competing with other LGBTI organizations, but by amplifying and lifting, by using the platform of the World Economic Forum, both in Davos, but also regionally and around the world. Also working with the UN, trying to get these companies to, you have to have signed on to the UN standards in order to join the partnership.
How many companies have signed on to that now? A couple hundred, I think.
Yeah,
270. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you. I knew we would know that. 270. Our goal is to get many, many more, and then to work around the world, both not only in sharing best practices among the companies, but their strength in numbers. So with the platform of the World Economic Forum, the power of the UN, and then finally the strength in the companies working together, where when you combine the economies, the corporate economies of those 14 countries, we're bigger than a lot of countries.
There's your evidence from the World Economic Forum in cahoots with the United Nations. And now 4 years later, we are seeing the results of this global sexualization membership. I was about to say from little things, big things grow. Or should I have said from big things, my, how things grow even bigger. As I said at the start, The pushback to all this garbage is gaining traction, and it's going global too. In Australia today, we hear that family court judges have been urged to consider new evidence at odds with current legal frameworks governing cases of gender dysphoric children, or risk contributing to the worst medical scandal in 100 years. A legal paper compiled by top Victorian family law barrister Bell Lane and delivered to judges of the Federal Circuit and Family Court of Australia last month argues fresh research into the effects of hormone treatments and puberty blockers on young Australians refutes older research touting a gender-affirming model of care. Let's have more of these legal papers keeping rolling in before it's too late. What the trans set desire for our children is just too damaging and life-changing to allow. Leave those decisions, if they need to make them, when they become adults. Let's protect the next generation of children from radical sexualization driven by the technocratic elite. This is TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
You know, time is running out. Janet Yellen says June 1st. It might be a few days after that. And then there's the 14th Amendment thrown into it all, which Biden seems to think he could sign, and then it would go to court, but it would give us more time. So what's your take? Will there be an agreement between McCarthy and Biden? And if not, do you see the 14th Amendment as Biden's option?
No, I think there will eventually be an agreement. I mean, not to date myself, but I've been around this since I was working for the now late Congressman Bud Schuster from Pennsylvania, and I was his budget committee staff person, his legislative director. I sat in for hours on endless hours of meetings with Democratic staff and Democratic members and Republican members about how to negotiate the budget and how to avoid exactly the kind of thing we're talking about right now. Eventually, agreement was reached, and it's reached because neither side wants to be responsible for being seen as responsible for utter disaster and default and all that. So I'm optimistic just because I think each side is perpetually scared of being blamed for a disaster.
The Steve Malzberg Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
When you can point me to an industry, to a platform that reaches 250 million people a month, virtually 9 out of 10 Americans, that's real, that's substantive, that's important. And that reach and that touch point and that daily reinforcement, it's an amazing place to be able to communicate messages. That's massive.
To find out more, go to tntradio.live. Where the story goes, we follow. Chris Smith on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Well, every single week here, almost every single day, I've had good reason to jump on news related to transgender activism. We've had a teacher sacked in the UK because he failed to use the appropriate pronoun for a trans teenager. We've had academics failing to recognize simple biology that sex is binary. We've had trans women activists resort to violence to gain entry to women's facilities. And we've had potential adoptive parents in the United States refused adoption rights because they wouldn't happily welcome gender dysphoria into their family. The world is going mad. But thankfully, the pushback for common sense and basic biology is on. And my special guest now is one of those prominent people who's standing up for the rights of biological women. Her name is Kelly J. Keene Minshall. My Australian listeners in particular will recall how she led rallies across the country earlier this year and then went to New Zealand, where a trans activist attacked her by pouring juice over her. Women worldwide are praising her brave campaign for women's rights, which is also placing many weak and wobbly politicians in a rather difficult position as they try and placate the trans minority, but they have to face the basic facts. Kelly J founded the group Standing for Women, and she rightly opposes the use of puberty blockers and hormone replacement therapy for transgender children. Hooray. She joins us right now. Kelly J, welcome to TNT Radio.
Thank you, and thanks for having me on.
No, thank you for your time. How tough was that trip to Australia and New Zealand? You were attacked. You had one fellow organiser denigrated by her party. Trans activists fought like rough men, which is ironic in itself. Have you got over that? Did it take a while to get over?
I knew that I was going to come to something. And when I arrived in Sydney, I would sort of call my husband every day and my kids and say, we should move. Australia is amazing. We should move. And the Sydney police were wonderful and they kept the trans activists away. And I just thought, well, maybe this is a country that actually respects free speech, despite what I'd sort of seen on the news over the few years previously. But as I journeyed through your vast and beautiful land, the vitriol and the aggression got more entitled and just ramped up. And your politicians really made that a great invitation for male violence. They basically, and your press, and I'm not including the Australian, although I've not been 100% happy with that, but I'm not including some of the alternative media, but your mainstream press, ABC, is totally captured. And they did really badly. And then New Zealand were like, well, hold my beer. We're just going to make up stuff about this woman. We're going to run with all the lies that you've started and we're going to ramp that up to 11. And they did. And then I sort of got what they wanted, really, which was a violent mob. But what they didn't understand is always part of my activism is, number one, it really is to let women speak. Women feel silenced and gaslit by the state. They are told that they cannot see the penis that they see in front of them. And they are told that it is a kindness to mutilate children. And what the prevailing narrative is that women cannot speak and they have to go along with this or they face punishment. And so they're always really central to what I want to achieve, which is to allow them to speak. But we know that a sideshow and a very good barometer of the aggression and the male violence are the people that come out and stand against us and the way that they are excused and sort of championed as if they really are stunning and brave to come and try and aggressively mob middle-aged women. And so it's, you know, it's a twofold thing. And this time the mob came out and peaked the world and everyone saw the male violence and entitlement. And I'm not saying that women weren't there, but the male violence and entitlement, they saw it very, very raw and in your face and difficult to ignore. So thank you, New Zealand.
Yes, in many ways, they gave themselves up and they weren't aware of what they were doing. They surely gave themselves up. It shouldn't be so hard to fathom, Kelly J, that sex is binary, that you cannot change that. And at the end of the day, no matter how you feel or how you want to feel, you don't adopt the rights of a biological woman just because you want to.
Well, yeah. I mean, look.
This is so simple.
Well, it's because it's irrational and dogmatic that it's such a dishonest and covert kind of ideology. It's because it doesn't stand up to scrutiny. You know, I'm an atheist. I'll happily sit down with a really devout Catholic and we can thrash out our positions and both person is secure that they are right and they will talk about it and no hard feelings. And at the end of it, I don't expect to have convinced that person to leave their Christianity, and they don't expect me to suddenly have a belief in God. And we are both happy to do that. And we have laws in a civilized society where people can go about to be free from religion and free to practice their religion. And then this new ideology comes along, which is far more about heretics and is sort of a quasi-religious cult. And it's managed to get itself embedded into our institutions and people in power.
Yeah, you've hit on it. I think there's something cultish about it. You know, I'm thinking about how politicians have acted through this period, especially when you were in Australia, and I'm thinking to myself, in our haste to support and care for those connected to minority groups right across the spectrum, we seem intent on overcompensating, Kelly J, and therefore handing over everything those minorities demand. Do you think that is one way to explain what governments in particular are doing in this space?
100%. But we have to remember that those handing over those rights are not about to lose any of their own. So it's only, you know, it's if a liberal or like liberal in the old fashioned sense of the word government or a rabid leftist as kind of socialist cult government, whoever it is. Whatever rights they decide to give minorities, or whatever echoes or amplification they decide to give minority rights, which actually in a fair and democratic society, I think we should all have equal rights. And I don't think any minority or majority should have any right to access law, employment, or anything more than anyone else. However, those people that make those decisions to say, well, let's really focus on that particular minority and let's make sure they're looked after, they don't have to surrender anything. I mean, John Pesutto, for example, or Dan Andrews, he's not worried about a man in his space when he's about to undress. He doesn't have to worry about going on a sports field and getting rugby tackled by a 6'5" bloke who calls himself Sarah. You know,
that's right. They don't have any first-hand experience, do they? No first-hand experience.
No, none whatsoever. And seemingly they don't care about any woman in their life or that they've ever met or they govern over, because they're quite cavalier with the rights that they expect us, certainly women in Australia, to surrender.
Yeah.
Willfully. Yeah. Like celebrate their surrendering of their rights. Not just give them up, but sort of celebrate that they're giving them up.
I want to talk about Joshua Sutcliffe before I go any further, only because I spoke about this teacher from your part of the world in the UK a few days ago. I told my audience about what he was, a state school teacher, a religious person from Oxford, who was sacked because he didn't use the right pronoun for a girl who regarded herself as a boy. We've gone nuts, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. I mean, if we take that case in isolation, there's probably some other things going on, but it is not beyond the sort of rules of this country that you will be penalized as a teacher. In fact, worse than that, worse than this man losing his job, and let's just take it at face value that it was simply was about misgendering. Worse than that is the number of children that have to go into school and have to pretend that Mr. Jones is now Miss Jones, and they all have to pretend that that teacher is a female. And all of the other kind of really nasty threads of this ideology being embedded in, even in maths, you know, we don't have to reference that little Joe is a non-binary person with six apples to teach our children that if you eat two apples, you've only got four left. But apparently that is what we're doing. We are filling our school libraries with LGBT propaganda. And unfortunately, the LGB is getting dragged down as swiftly as the T can possibly manage. And I think your country and mine, it wasn't even if that we championed gay rights. We didn't really care whether someone was gay. It wasn't really on our radar. Nobody cared. We'd stopped discussing it. Obviously, in certain sort of cultures and families, there are still issues, and I'm not going to ignore that. And the word gay as a pejorative is still used in playgrounds. But most adults, we don't care. We don't want to know. We don't care if we know. We just don't care. But that now this ideology is coming for our kids, and unfortunately, the LGB that hasn't segregated itself from T is also going to feel the backlash. And I think that's a great shame.
And Kelly J, it's one of those things you'd like to confront these people and say, why don't you pick on someone with your own intellect or age? That is, talk to the adults you know about changing gender if you wish. Go for your life. But don't pick on children who are impressionable, who are suggestive. That is, you suggest something that maybe the next stage in their life, they will think about it, dwell on it, and adopt it. Don't pick on our kids. Keep your hands off, because as far as I'm concerned, that is grooming.
100% is grooming. I mean, TikTok is absolutely flooded. I'm not sure about Australian teachers, but it's certainly flooded with American teachers who come out to their sort of five-year-old elementary class or make their kids kind of call them they, them, and use these special pronouns. And school isn't for that. I don't want to know whether or not my police officer supports whatever football team. I don't want to know anything about them. I want to know that when they come to my house and I've been broken into, that they'll do their job. I don't want to know anything about a teacher. As far as I was concerned, when I was at school, when I was little, teachers weren't really fully fledged humans. They were just teachers who rocked up in a classroom and you were shocked if you saw them outside of school because that isn't where they're supposed to be. And yet now we've got to welcome this whole being into the classroom. And I was in Western Australia, and in the government literature there, and I think it's worth every single citizen of Australia having a look at this.
Yeah.
Because it talked about 0 to 2 year olds having a sexuality. So you really have, there really is a paedophile charter, like threaded through some of the language that we are now introducing into what we think of very small children and babies. Yeah. They don't have a sexuality. They don't have anything like a sexuality. They are small children. Just leave them alone, please.
Yes, leave them alone. Pick on someone with your own intellect and someone your own age. I've got to take a quick break. I want to get some headlines and come back with you to talk about Moira Deeming, who has been demonized so much by her own party. I cannot believe it. I'm with Kelly J. Keane Minshall, and we're talking about trans rights and trans activism. We'll be back in just a second on TNT Radio.
Now, TNT Radio News.
Uh-oh. Scandal. Huge news. This is very important.
Matt Boylant here with a look at your TNT headlines. Russia has issued an arrest warrant for hawkish US Senator Lindsey Graham after he was caught on camera appearing to boast about paying Ukraine to kill Russian soldiers. A world-leading cardiologist has called on the Australian government to apologise to and compensate workers who were sacked for refusing the COVID shot. And NATO's so-called peacekeeping forces have been accused of attacking a group of peaceful demonstrators staging a sit-down protest in the breakaway region of Kosovo.
You're with Chris Smith on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
I'm with Kelly J. Keane Minshall, a woman who's travelled the world holding the flag very high for women's rights and has come across transgender activists in the most violent way, certainly after an experience in New Zealand. And then you, Kelly J, went to Melbourne where you had a rally. It was in some ways hijacked and gatecrashed by a group of Nazis. And then Moira Deeming, the Victorian Liberal Party MP, is demonized because she dared to turn up to this rally where these neo-Nazis gatecrashed. She was connected to the neo-Nazis unfairly. She had nothing to do with them. And can you believe while you were in the UK and reading about all of this sort of stuff, all of a sudden she was expelled from the caucus, from her own party?
Well, in many ways, I can, because I've come across John Pesutto, and he's a man who reads Wikipedia and thinks it's all true. So I really don't hold him in much regard. Also, I just want to make it really clear, the so-called Nazis, whether they are or not, I understand some of them do call themselves Nazis. Whatever they are, they didn't even gatecrash. They booked their space on those steps. So somebody in that building, in that Melbourne Parliament, agreed that they could stand on those steps. And the reason I know that is because...
Hang on, you're saying to me that this was a conspiracy to besmirch your rally by putting a group of, well, Nazi-dressed men in the crowd?
I don't want to get into sort of tinfoil hat. I'm just going to say it would be very convenient if that was the intention was to discredit Moira, who has given like her maiden speech talking about women's rights and children's autonomy to have healthy bodies until they're at least adults. But also that was signed off. Now, I would imagine if you hold particularly vile views and you want the maximum publicity, that a women's rights campaigner coming who brings a little bit of something, and you know trans activists are going to come out, and you know the press are going to come, then you might want to book your rally that day just along from that so you get in the press.
Wow.
Because if they book their own rally, maybe it's not so, maybe it's not so headline grabbing. So I'm not saying that necessarily Dan Andrews himself signed the permit to grant access to the Melbourne steps for these this particular group, and I'm pretty sure they could have refused. And I'm not saying that this particular group definitely said, well, this will be a good day to come and protest. I'm just saying that either of those two things are more true than they gatecrashed our event. They absolutely had permission to be there, and It wasn't granted by me. It was granted by somebody in the Parliament.
Well, let me say it then. Let me say it. It has got all the signs of a setup. It has. It's all the signs of a setup, signed off by those who run Spring Street, and it makes sense that it would be the Labor government of Victoria. That doesn't surprise me. It worked very well for them. Talking about politicians, when I hear the likes of Liberal Democratic Party leader Sir Ed Davey say on radio this week that women can have penises, I realise, Kelly J, that the tide is not changing quick enough, is it?
No, it's not, although the people are saying more and more stupid things, so more people are waking up to it. So that's always a little bit of a blessing. But would you, I mean, I just wouldn't vote for a politician who couldn't say what a woman was and couldn't say with conviction that they know that women don't have penises. Now, there's an array of ways that he could have answered. He could have given woolly answers like, oh, gender identity and all that nonsense, which I don't believe anything of. I think you're just male or female. But he could have given one of those answers, but he chose not to. And it's the same as politicians in Australia. I mean, the New Zealand Prime Minister. It really does seem to be. I asked the Women and Equalities Minister in 2019 of the UK. I asked her, what is a woman? And this was at a women's event to celebrate 100 years of women in the Conservative Party. And she said, oh, should we talk about it later? Like, she wouldn't even answer. That was years ago. But I think when it comes to Moira Deeming, the beautiful thing about all of this is it's not true. Like, we all really know that if Janet, 52, turned up to babysit our children and it was clearly a man presenting as a woman, we're not leaving our kids, right? We all know that. I don't care how woke you pretend to be. We all know that we wouldn't do that.
Correct.
And so Moira Deeming, she's going to become the leader. I foresee her as a future Prime Minister of Australia, to be honest, because when it comes to bravery and conviction, I think people are getting to a point, we don't even care if we agree with whatever that person's saying, but if we believe that they are speaking with conviction, they are speaking the truth, that's such a rarity now that I think that becomes the most electable person in the country.
Well, she could easily lead the Liberal Party, because after the way the Liberal Party and Pesutto dealt with her, they have lost their supporters forever. It was only last weekend. I don't know whether you've seen this in the UK, but they had a get-together in Bendigo in central Victoria with the Liberal leader. He was booed. He was heckled. People left the building. They had signs of Moira Deeming. I know the person that they want to lead the party, and it's not John Pesutto.
Yeah, I did see it. And it's, you know, this is what happens if you publicly turn your back on one of your own, especially in an issue that most people will agree with her, then you will reap what you sow. And I think his days have got to be numbered. I mean,
Can I turn to the United States? You must be encouraged by what you're hearing from the United States, with as many as 17 states redrafting legislation to define that there are only two sexes. That's got to be encouraging.
It's encouraging, but it's also equally preposterous, isn't it? That we actually have to have laws that are now saying, it's like saying there's 17 states that have just said, if you stand out in the rain, you will actually get wet. It's just nuts.
Yes. That's why I keep saying it's so simple. If you could define the biology here and people could remember what they did when they were in primary school in biology, they'd make this debate a lot less vitriolic. When did you decide that you're the one that's going to be the battering ram? When did you decide that you were going to put and pay for big posters and billboards around London to make the point against trans activists? What turned you? What happened that said, someone's got to lead the field here, I better do it?
Well, I don't know if I intended on being the leader, but it just sort of happened by coincidence, I guess, and just by a numerous kind of inadvertent action. So 2015, I was definitely on the left. They elected a Tory politician. I joined left-wing women groups, and they were absolutely infiltrated by men calling themselves women. And then I said to one of them, like, are you sure you identify as a woman? And I might as well have sort of said, I'm going to come and murder your entire family, because it wasn't just his response, actually, that was really quite unsettling. It was the defense, the vitriolic defense of him by women. And I think women often have been the people kind of propagating this nonsense. I think it's some sort of social currency. I've yet to really find the central nugget as to why women are so willing to give up our rights. And there's lots of them that are really quite aggressive, certainly in that mob in New Zealand. There were a lot of women that were very aggressive and very keen on it. But yeah, then come 2018, so then women on the left that were also in this movement really turned on me. Right. And I had to sort of disappear. And so I wanted to do something. And central to all of this is the word woman and the language. And, you know, I'm very lucky. I'm old enough to have read Orwell as a primary school. You know, we read Animal Farm and we read 1984.
We did.
You know, and those things have a lasting impression on you. And you understand that at the center point of all of this, coercive behavior by anyone is to destroy the language you can use. And therefore, you can't even think about these things because you no longer have the language to even think in your own head. So that's why I did it. And, you know, by hook or by crook, the police then came and wanted to talk to me about tweets back in 2018. So that sort of propelled me into the Times newspaper here in the UK, which then got people talking. I'm pretty sure Keira Bell case. So Keira Bell, which was a famous case over here of a detransitioner.
Yep.
She came to a meeting at the House of Lords. So just sort of keeping working. And I'm really lucky to be in a very fortunate situation that I'm not answerable to anybody. No boss can really govern what I say. But, you know, it's not without risk. My kids have been threatened. My home has been threatened. My husband's business been threatened. I obviously physically have been threatened. But the more they attack, the more I just I'm a little bit bloody minded. I'm just thinking, absolutely not. This is not going to happen. We are not, you know, we don't sterilize kids in this country anymore. You still do in Australia. And it's to the shame of all who remain silent.
Do you have to be careful where you go and who you're with in the UK, in your home place?
Not where I live here, no,
right.
Because I live in quite a normal sort of town, yeah, where people actually do tangible jobs and want to pay a mortgage. I don't live anywhere quite so privileged. But I now can't do any event without, in your money, without a good sort of $2,500 worth of security. Right. So when I go and do my events, I have to have close personal protection to ensure that, and I have to stay in quite nice hotels so that I can use sort of back entrances and so on, and
yeah,
have to be a silent guest. So it's a little bit nuts. But you know, this is what happens when you begin to win, that they really do turn on you quite vociferously. And I do believe that we're winning.
What's next for you? You couldn't get a meeting with Joe Biden, could you, and give him a biology lesson, because he obviously needs one?
Well, I kind of feel I like might have to give him speech therapy lessons first.
Oh, there's that too.
Look, Biden said before he was elected, and many women who knew this still voted for him. He said before he was elected, he basically said, I'm going to destroy women's rights. I'm going to pretend that anyone who says that gender identity is as important as biological sex. So we knew he was going to destroy women's rights. And Obama before him had done the same. And we're all supposed to hate Trump, but Trump didn't accelerate any of those policies. Like, Obama started attacking Title IX, and Obama actually, for those that care about the reproductive debate, Obama closed more access to abortion than any other sitting president in his presidency. So he sort of celebrated as some sort of hero, but he really, really destroyed women's rights from all angles. So what's next for me is I'm going to the UN just to do an event. So I'm going to Vienna and Geneva in a couple of weeks. I'm going to continue doing this, do a tour of Europe. You know, it's until this stops, I guess I don't get to stop. But it's great because the side of this is that the women's movement had somewhat died. There were a lot of women that thought that everything was won. And now we're getting women from all across the political divide, whether it's kind of a pro-choice Christian, a pro-life Christian to a dyed-in-the-wool lefty lesbian those women are coming together and standing united against what we see as a common enemy. And I really hope that those galvanized kind of that galvanized movement remains to have a look at other areas of women's lives. And really, in this country, I'm going against Keir Starmer, which is the leader of the opposition.
Yes.
So I'm encouraging women to take political, you don't want to just ask politician questions. You want to be the politicians. You want to be those people in those conversations. Yeah. So that's next.
Because at the end of the day, people with life experience like yourself would do a far greater job than someone who's been in the one job for the whole of their lives. Kelly J. Keene Mitchell, it is so refreshing to hear what you've got to say at a time when, just like that book, 1984, we've come up with a separate line of truth for some reason, and we've got to get back to what the real truth is. Thank you very much for your time. Keep at it, and we look forward to your travels through the UN and Europe.
Thank you so much. An absolute pleasure to meet you. Thanks.
Good on you. Kelly J. Keene Mitchell. Fabulous. What an inspiration on TNT Radio.
COVID and climate now being officially merged by the World Health Organization.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
The Rockefeller Foundation and the World Health Organization announced a multi-million-dollar partnership for, quote, preventing pandemics fueled by climate change. According to the Rockefeller Foundation's president, climate change is increasing both the risk of another global pandemic. Yes, that's right. Unchecked climate change leads to more viruses. Harvard School of Public Health agrees, quote, the root causes of climate change also increase the risk of pandemics. Harvard urges the need to, quote, take climate action to prevent the next pandemic. So there you have it. If you don't support Net Zero or the UN Paris Climate Pact or the Green New Deal, you are a grandma killer. We are witnessing the Sovietization of the entire world, where every aspect of your life will be crushed by governments seeking to keep you safe from climate and viruses. This will only happen if we allow it. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
A social credit system was introduced in China in 2014. China's social credit system is a nationwide government program for regulation of citizens' behavior based on a point system. Under this system, citizens are assessed using data collected from court documents, government or corporate records, and even from neighbors and observers. Citizens with higher scores are eligible for bank loans, free medical checkups, and other services in demand. Points are deducted for traffic violations, defaulting on loan payments, smoking in non-smoking zones, buying or playing too many video games, posting false news stories online, and other transgressions deemed appropriate by authorities. Citizens with bad social credit scores can be denied essential services, and blacklists are available for employers, educational institutions, and credit providers to reference. When introduced by China's State Council, it was announced the system would favor the trustworthy to roam everywhere under heaven, while making it hard for the discredited to take a single step.
Like Bob Marley said,
get up, stand up. Stand up for your right.
From big tech censorship to calling out government tyranny, TNT Radio has the guts to say what you're thinking and gives you the platform to be heard. Call the open line anytime in the U.S. and Canada. Call 1-888-201-6425. In the U.K., call 033-024-1026. And in Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310.
Stand up for your right.
Free speech has a home on TNT Radio.
Yes, it is the most democratic way to get yourself on the media and have your say and voice an opinion, because it's not edited. It's not written by a second person or a third person. It's you. Uncensored, unedited. We'll talk about censorship in just a short moment as it applies to Elon Musk. But on the subject still of trans activists, there's an enormous Barney brewing. For those who don't know what Barney is, Australian for argument, debate, fight, between some high-profile American sports writers. ESPN broadcaster, according to the New York Post, Sam Ponder, came under fire over the weekend as her support for keeping women's sports fair and equal was the subject of an opinion column from USA Today's Nancy Amor. Ponder,
and fellow ESPN colleague Sage Steele have voiced their support for Riley Gaines, who, as you may know, has taken the reins to lead the calls for transgender athletes to participate in sports against the gender they were born as, instead of the gender they identify as. Gaines has been at the forefront since she tied with Leah Thomas in the NCAA championship last year. Now, recently, Ponder spoke about the issue again after Gaines tweeted the messages she received about transgender high school runners participating in the girls' division in California. Quote, "I barely said anything publicly about this issue, and I've had so many people message me, stop me in the street to say thank you, and tell me stories about girls who are afraid to speak up for fear of losing their employment. It is not hateful to demand equality. Don't be fooled by the people who screech about fairness." Now, this is where I get to a separate quote. This has come from R. Moore, who immediately after that tweet wrote over the weekend in the USA Today, "Don't be fooled by the people who screech about fairness to cloak their bigotry towards transgender girls and women. The transgender girls and women who have the audacity to want to play sports in particular. No one's trying to deprive them of playing sports." But this was part of Amor's column. "This is and always was about hate." Hate? Why would anyone hate someone who wanted to be a woman but was a biological male? Why would you hate someone? Why would you fear someone? She says, "This is all about hate, fear, and ignorance." I don't know what the ignorance part is all about. Moore particularly took issue with Ponder choosing to speak out about this issue rather than talk about how girls and women's sports don't have equitable funding with boys and men. Well, that's a different issue altogether. And she wrote, "Did Ponder use her platform to express outrage at any of that? Urge her nearly 500,000 followers on Twitter to write or call their representatives and ask that women be given the funding and opportunities they rightly deserve." Well, this is a different issue. I don't know whether she may have done that before. I'm sure she'll do it in the future now that it's been raised. But Moore said, "No, she did not. Her public concern about fairness for female athletes starts and stops with the minuscule number of transgender women who are participating in sports. It doesn't matter how many are participating. Some of them are winning because of their unfair advantage. It's that simple. What is difficult about this concept?" Amor accused Ponder of putting transgender people in further danger with her tweets. Well, you know, at the end of the day, you've got to tell the truth. You've got to have a view about things. If it offends someone, they should turn their back on it and walk away. Amor concluded that Ponder's opinions have nothing to do with fairness. Quite amazing. Now, when it comes to the polls at the moment, 66% of American adults do not believe that biological males should be allowed to compete in women's sports competitions. At the high school level, that's 66%. I would have thought it would have been into the 70s. Who knows? While 34% support biological males competing against women. I would have thought it would have been a lot less in the 20s, but 34%. When it comes to college and professional sports in the United States, 65% of American adults don't believe that biological males should be allowed to compete in women's sports. About the same. While 34% in both categories were behind the idea. So that was from the New York Post yesterday. But as you can see, even, you know, the sports writers of the United States can't agree on the principle of all of this. It's quite remarkable. Now, censorship. Censorship. I wanted to talk about this today because this is important. It's Elon Musk standing firm to protect Twitter. As you know, the background to Twitter has been where Twitter has opened the door to all the government agencies to fiddle as they please and take out people's tweets because they thought it wasn't the truth, right? Unbelievably generous, unbelievably out of this world. Who does that as a private corporation? Bring in the government agencies. It is 1984 writ large. Anyway, Twitter has pulled out of the European Union's voluntary code. to fight disinformation, the EU has said. Thierry Breton, who is the EU's internal market commissioner, warned the social media company that new laws would force compliance. New laws would force compliance. Breton said, obligations remain. You can run, but you can't hide. So Twitter will be legally required to fight disinformation in the European Union from August the 25th. And then Breton added, our teams will be ready for enforcement. There you go. He's got his censorship team ready to go. Twitter has not confirmed its stance on the code under Elon Musk's ownership. Moderation at Twitter has reportedly been greatly reduced, which critics say has allowed an increase in the spread of disinformation. It is an increase in people's opinions. Take it or leave it, I say. Take it or leave it. Now, I want to tell you about that other terrible story that came out of the United States today, and I'll just give you an update on it because people are asking about it. It's quite awful. Let me get through some of the details. At least 9 people, including a 1-year-old child and 2 other minors, were injured in a Memorial Day shooting on a packed Florida boardwalk. Authorities say a dispute between 2 groups ended in gunfire at about 6:45 Monday night in the area of the 1200 block of North Boardwalk in Hollywood Beach, north of Miami. One suspect has been detained while another is still at large. An online video showed the moment gunfire erupted on the popular hotspot. The crowd frantically scattered for cover and away from danger when gunshots started to ring out near the Margaritaville Resort. Other videos from the scene, and as you can imagine, with such a crowded scene, there were plenty of videos, and some have captured exactly what went on. One video shows people running away from the beach to try and seek cover from cars. Other videos from the scene showed emergency responders treating several victims as they lay in the sand. 9 people were transported to area hospitals in the aftermath. Their conditions remain unclear. I don't know whether you've seen some of the pictures, but they are pictures of sheer chaos. Hollywood Beach Mayor Josh Levy told the South Florida Sun Sentinel that paramedics were on the scene and some victims have been taken to hospital. He said it seemed like people might have gotten caught in the crossfire, but I can't verify that. He later tweeted, thank you to the Good Samaritans, paramedics, police and emergency room doctors and nurses for their immediate response to aid the victims of today's shooting. Officers said there will continue to be a heavy police presence at the scene as the investigation continues. In the meantime, investigators are asking for the public's help in finding the suspect, who is described as a black male with dreadlocks, who was last seen wearing a black short sleeve shirt and camouflage shorts. So that's the information on that particular piece of mayhem in Florida. This is interesting. The gas cartels. Next time you go to a European holiday, or your child jets out to the same for a gap year, make sure you pick up a few million tons of LNG, writes David Lewin Smith on Macro Business. It's a great article, this. Right now, you can get Aussie gas for $11.80. In Asia, though, it's still closer to 14. This is gigajoules, right? So $11.80 Australian gas per gigajoule, $11.80. But in Asia, $14 gigajoule on gas. So in other words, Australia has a pretty good competitive price right now. When you get home, he writes, you can sell the same gas for 30 gigajoules. So in short, Australian gas in Europe is trading under the Prime Minister's ruined 12 gigajoule gas price cap, while gas in Sydney is trading 250% above it. It's because the East Coast gas cartel of Santos, Woodside and Origin, plus their foreign friends, are strangling supply to the local market while they disgorge enormous volumes into a global market that does not need nor want it. In other words, there's an oversupply overseas, the price goes down. Australians desperately need their gas because there's very little of it, so the price goes up above what it's supposed to, 250% more. That's what you're paying. That's what Australians are paying. So this has created an hilarious situation, not funny for consumers, in which it is roughly 60% cheaper for Aussies to buy gas in Europe than it has been, which is why he's saying if you're going overseas, buy millions of kilojoules of gas, will you? It's dug up in Queensland for $1, he writes. It's frozen to a liquid at great expense. It's shipped to Europe over 10 weeks at great expense. Sailed in circles for a few more months at great expense. Shipped back to the state of New South Wales for another 10 weeks at great expense. Unfrozen and then piped at great expense. Than it is to buy the same original 1 gigajoule of Queensland gas and pipe directly to New South Wales in 2 days. We are being ripped off to the maximum. I've got to take a break. I'll get some news for you. And back after that with Senator Holly Hughes. And more to come on TNT Radio.